It's Friday on the Sports Machine with Slim, WKXL Radio, and it is story time. I got a story to run by you. Today's show will involve a lot of NBA talk, a lot of NHL talk. Got a couple of callers lined up. I know I had a couple of special callers that I don't think are going to be making an appearance, but we'll see what happens as the show goes on. Let's get to my story. Last night I go out and I meet up with Mitty at Hampton Beach, and we're going to go sing some karaoke and listen to some karaoke because there was a big contest down at Hampton Beach, $3,000 to the winner. I don't know who won, $1,000 for second place, $500 for third. So that's some money that they were putting out there. But me and Mitty, we like to sing. So, all right, we go over to a different place first where we walk in, and yeah, we get to sing. And the thought that goes through my mind, as it did the last time I went out singing, is I'm not a very good karaoke singer anymore. I mean, I'm okay. I'd rate myself like a 6 out of 10, maybe 7. But I sang Holla Back Girl last night by Gwen Stefani, and I usually nail that song. And last night, I was a 7. And I realized maybe I don't have it anymore on the karaoke scene. Maybe I'm too focused with the tone of my voice and my screaming and audible just in my own range of voice from talking so much into the radio. Or I'm just getting old and haven't been to karaoke enough. Or maybe I just stink now. Like, there's a world of potential reasons for why I'm not sounding as good as I once did. And it's actually really affecting my confidence. But whatever. We go over to the competition. And there's some pretty good talent down there, Hampton Beach, no doubt. I step outside at some point, and there's a dude wearing a Jeremy Swayman jersey. And you may have heard me tell this story already earlier today when I called WEEI and talked to Greg Hill and got me, you know, I was on the show, and he asked, hey, will you come to the road show that we're doing, going to be down to Hampton Beach in a couple weeks? I said, yeah, love to meet you guys in person, but the dude with the Swayman jersey, I'm looking at him like, hey, I wonder if this guy knows anything about Bruins, right? Is he one of these regular fans that just wears the jersey to be cool? They get free tickets so they'll go to the game, but they really don't have any idea. Who knows? I go over, I talk to the guy. His name turns out to be Dennis. After I talk to him for 5 minutes, I'm like, wow, this guy really knows his stuff. He's talking to me about the goalies and back and forth and everything that he's saying. I'm like, yeah, we're on the same page, man. I don't understand why people don't get it. You go Swayman, Allmark, and then we'll just worry about it after 4 games. Maybe we start Allmark in game one, Swayman, Allmark, Swayman. Either way, you're alternating for the first 4 games. I would start Swayman in game one as of right now because I just kind of want to turn the page from last year and just be like, okay, guess what? We almost traded Allmark at the All-Star break. I know Allmark probably has been playing better lately than Swayman, but for the course of the year, Swayman was the better goalie. I'm going to ride him in game one. We're going with the younger dude, and that's it. You're game one, Allmark's pulling for you. Game two, Allmark's going in the net, just so you know this. I don't understand why the guys on EEI don't understand this, but the dude in the Swayman jersey did. As I progress a little bit further to kind of bring this story to an end, he tells me, I'm in a wrestling league. I said, what, WWE? And I'm half like, there's no way. This guy's a WWE. He said, no, it's a smaller league. Actually, I'm currently a co-holder of the tag team belt right now. I'm like, you're a champion, dude? Yeah, we give high fives. He takes out his phone, shows me a picture with him with the belt on and his tag team partner. I'm like, dude, if I was a tag team champion, I'd be wearing the belt everywhere around. I would always have that on. He goes, yeah, I have it in the car. He was so excited. Newton, Massachusetts, he said, there's his next wrestling thing coming up in a couple of weeks. I said, dude, if you call the show, I will buy tickets to that wrestling event and give them away to free to people that you want. And he says, okay, so we'll see if he calls the show. Probably not, right? It was late at night. He probably was like, who is this loser? Why is this guy talking to me? But whatever. I thought you were cool, Dennis. And I think the Boston Bruins and the Boston Celtics are very cool. I listened to Wick Grosbeck this morning do an interview on EEI, and he was very positive, upbeat. They told him how he's the best owner in Boston sports. I tend to agree. I mean, he's paying the guys that we want to have here and locking up somebody like Jaylen Brown. Yeah, we were able to offer him more money, so it was unlikely he was going to go somewhere else. But still, I think it's good to sign that guy to a long-term deal. And some people will say, oh, you can't trade that contract. I think those people have no clue what they're talking about. I think more than 50% of the teams in the NBA today would do whatever they could to get Jaylen Brown in that contract on their team. I mean, if you're at Atlanta Hawks, you wouldn't want Jaylen Brown? You crazy? At least he plays some defense. Get rid of Trae Young. Bring in Jaylen Brown. Your team's much better next year. You're crazy if you don't think so. And I could do that with half the teams in the league. The NBA, I know my stuff when I watch the games. Okay, I gave a prediction the other night. I said, oh, Philadelphia, they're going to beat Miami, no doubt. Philadelphia played horrible. Miami played incredible. Philadelphia still won, but only by one. So that doesn't help if you have the spread. You want me to be bringing some knowledge. I will tell you, I have my picks lined up in segment four. If we got callers, we'll go for callers, but I'll give you my picks in every series for both the NBA and NHL. I will do it rapid fire session. If the show's not in the right direction come segment four, I'm just going to do this, and I would advise you to get out your pen and paper, because the NHL side of things, I'm going underdogs. There's some nice ones that I think have a chance. NBA, I'm mixed 50-50, but what I'll tell you is, I think the underdogs have a chance. I mean, right now you got two sizable underdogs. You got Denver and the Lakers. Lakers plus 250. Lakers are going to win some games. I'm sorry. I read this morning that the Lakers, four games last year in losses to Denver in the conference finals, the total amount of points that they lost by in those four games was 26? Actually, I think it was 24, which is like just almost so unbelievable that I want to add up a couple. They lost four games by an average of 6 points a game. If you rewind, I mean, or if you fast forward, like, the mentality of people is, oh, dude, Denver smoked Lakers in four games. They're so much better. I think the Lakers are going to find a way to win some games in this series. I don't think Denver is as good as everybody else seems to believe. And if they are, why did they lose that game to San Antonio the other day? My brother Dave said that to me. I was like, yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing. Like, is Denver all of a sudden, like, what, are they going to win five championships in a row? They're unstoppable? I don't know. Is their team as good as they were last year? I mean, last year did Oklahoma City and Minnesota, like, challenge them for the best record in the West? Let's see. I just don't underestimate LeBron James. How many times are you going to do it? And more importantly, it's Anthony Davis. Okay, this guy has the ability and the talent to be literally a top three player in the NBA. He's not, because he's kind of, I mean, maybe he's lazy. I don't know. His work ethic doesn't show me that he's getting better each year. Like you can say about Jaylen Brown, at least every year he gets better. Every single year Jaylen Brown comes back and gets better. We still get mad at him because his deficiencies, he hasn't learned to hide them enough. But he gets better. Does Anthony Davis ever get better? I don't know. But when he's ready to go, dude, he's huge. And he can shoot. And he's made big shots when the money's on the line. I mean, he did in the bubble. He won a game for them with the last second shot, didn't he? Like, he's had more memorable game winners, even if it's just that one, than Jason Tatum. Although Tatum did hit that layup on the pass there from Marcus Smart in the first round. Was it last year? We were all excited because he moved. He cut to the basket. Yay. You didn't go one-on-one. You just got a pass while you were open and shot a layup. If you had missed, it would have been torturous. Like, I would have been begging for you to get run out of town if you had missed that layup. So that's the plan for today. We're talking NBA. We're talking NHL. This is the time of year I've been looking for and waiting for. As a side, as we transition towards the end of this first segment, how about Caitlin Clark and this reporter out in Indiana, Greg something or other, in this heart symbol he gives her. And he says, if you give me that to me, we'll get along just fine. It's just so sexist. It really is. And I guess this guy's a turd and everybody knows it as far as his interview style. And I think he had run-ins with the Patriots and the Indianapolis Colts because he's a longtime Indianapolis reporter, who I really could care less. But the reason I even bring this up is just with women, like you see all the time, there's the battle for supremacy, like battle of the sexes. Oh, I want fair payment. Oh, I want fair treatment. But the issue I have with that is, like, as a woman, you can't allow a guy to talk to you in a business setting the way that guy talked to Caitlin Clark. Like, she needs to say, hey, dude, who you think you're talking to? But women aren't confrontational like that in most cases, and that's why men make the decisions and rule the world and are messing things up. The Sports Machine with Slim coming out firing hot on WKXL Radio this morning, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com. Bitcoin happening day. Been plenty of it on social media, I know that. Most people probably still don't understand what it is. That's fine. It's honestly not as big a deal as they make it out to be on social media. But if you're into making money, you could look at the past three times it's happened and look at the yearly performance of Bitcoin afterwards. That's kind of a big deal. Boston Celtics, kind of a big deal. The Pistol, he's kind of a big deal, too. I think he's on the phone line right now, right? Thank you for coming onto the show today, Pistol.
Slim, you're going to need a machine gun to stop me today. I'm ready to go.
You are? What are you so fired up about? Go ahead.
Final play-in games. We get to see who the eight seeds are. And I'm kind of excited for the Sacramento versus New Orleans game. I think Sacramento is quite a bit of fun to watch with their up-tempo game. And, man, when they're playing at home, their home, the Golden One Center is a rockin' place to play. Like, don't you wish that the TD Garden was like that?
You want to know something? Honestly, I stopped listening, Pistol, like halfway through because I was caught up in my mind going, wait a minute, he's excited for the New Orleans-Sacramento game tonight? This guy must be one pathetic loser.
Yeah, you got to say, like, I don't think any of these play-in teams have a shot, right? Now that Jimmy Butler has gone down, Joel Embiid looked like he was about 50 years old in the game.
Yeah.
And you've got, like, LeBron looked like Michael Jordan when he played with the Washington Wizards. I mean, the game was tied, and he airballed a shot. Thankfully, Anthony Davis rebounded it and put it back in, but my goodness, these 7-8 seeds are deservingly 7-8 seeds.
Interesting, Pistol. Yeah, because with 2.5 minutes or so, I think the game was tied, and LeBron just totally threw the ball to the other team, too. So, I didn't watch that game fully because there was other games I was watching on at the same time. Did LeBron really look old? Because when he played New Orleans a few days earlier, he certainly didn't look old.
Right. I agree with you. So, there were a number of moves that he made where he got all the way to the rim. So he toasted a guy. He gets all the way to the rim, and then he didn't finish. He just, like, the layup just missed, right? and I think he probably had three of those. And then down the stretch, they keep giving him the ball. He keeps, like, running the shot clock all the way down, right? And then the play that he makes is terrible. Like, he airballed one shot. He threw a ball away one time. I was like, oh, my God, like, what are they doing?
It sounds like if I was
really close to blowing it.
It sounds like if I was a sports talk radio show host out in Los Angeles, I'd be screaming at LeBron, telling him not to do these dumb step back threes and waiting until the shot clock's at the end, like I do with Tatum out here.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I think one of the things is they run everything through LeBron, right? Like, they, if he's on the court, everything goes through him. And I'm not saying you shouldn't run anything through him, but I'm just saying you got to change it up sometimes. You got guys like Austin Reeves who can make plays for other people. He can, you know, he can move. The other guys are good, like, jump shooters. So I just don't understand, like, giving him the ball every single possession and then, you know, trying to work everything through him. And he just, like, to me, he looked old. I was like, wow, like, I don't think this team has a chance against Denver. I know you were talking they're going to win a couple games. And, you know, they were close in a bunch of games during the series last year.
Yeah, I think they'll win at least two games. Honestly, if you're asking me who I'm going to take based on the odds, I'm going to take the Lakers to win the series just because I think the world is totally messed up right now, and everybody thinking Denver is going to win can just work against them. I just don't think Denver's quite as good as last year. But you know what? That sounds like what I was saying about UConn in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, you guys. I mean, I think Denver is heavy favorites. I think you want to look at, like, could they potentially lose to one of those 4 or 5 seeds? Actually, they're on the other side of the bracket, right? So you're talking about, like, could they lose to the Timberwolves or Phoenix in the second round? Phoenix is the only – Phoenix beat them in 2 games in their series last year. It's hard to get beyond Phoenix, though. Like, I actually really like the Timberwolves in that series.
You like the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're not getting a lot of respect, Pistol. They're now plus 110, and the Phoenix is minus 130. What I'm going to tell you is Anthony Edwards – is that dude. He just can't shoot from 3 yet. He plays defense full energy all the time, and it's tough when you are that engaged on the defensive end as a younger dude to be able to also, like, be composed and have full energy on the offensive end, because when he goes to the basket, man, he's burning some calories. So you think the one-man offensive show from Minnesota is going to be able to beat them in the series?
I think Minnesota's got other guys that really play good defense, right? Like, one of the saddest things is Rudy Gobert has the best chance to win Defensive Player of the Year. And I would say there's, like, might be 2 or 3 defensive players that are better than him on his own team, right? Including Anthony Edwards. So when you have, like, just think about it, Slim. When you have your best player playing super hard on defense, and you've got a bunch of other young guys, right? Like Jeremy McDaniels and I can't remember who their other guy is. It's the 6th man that comes off the bench. Like, they have some legit talent that people are not looking at. And just remember, last year in the playoffs, when the playoffs started, nobody was talking about Denver. And they went and won the championship. I think Minnesota could have a run like that.
If you rewind the tapes back here in December, I think I was saying, boy, I really like Minnesota. Their defense is awesome. And I hear you. As a basketball expert that I've crowned myself, I'm wearing the crown today, Pistol, I feel like I'm just superior to other people watching the games and watching how good players are. Minnesota's defense is probably the best in the league. On-ball defenders, like, they're just fast. And as a team, they move incredibly well. So what you said, you were all fired up today. What do you want to finish up with here? You got other stuff you want to bring to the table?
Well, I would just say, like, it looks like the Celtics' road has just gotten so much easier. After watching these play-in games, Jimmy Butler goes down with a sprained MCL. We got Embiid looking like a 50-year-old out there. Like, Celtics' road is so easy. It seems impossible not to make it to the finals.
The Knicks do have a ton going for them, Pistol. They're tight. And
ooh,
I do think
I like
that, we had a caller earlier in the week said he feels like it's a collision course, and the Knicks did smoke the Celtics with their starters, the full team, a week and change ago. So I'm not going to say the Knicks have no chance. I would say I love the thought of playing New York in a series, Boston against New York. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, that would be so cool. The two cities have so much history. And, it seems like there's a large talent gap between the two teams. But New York plays smart, and they play hard, and that can beat the Celtics.
I'm sick of talking about talent, because if you want to talk talent, we could watch the Miami Heat against the Philadelphia 76ers the other day. 76ers have more talent, but the Heat, smarter, tougher, better coached. And intelligence in this world matters.
Slim, how crazy was that zone defense that they broke out and played in the first half?
Absolutely,
like, they
perfect.
Had a bunch, they had a ton of turnovers.
Yeah, Philadelphia had no answer for it. They had no idea what to do. They were still going to Embiid, even though he had like 4 turnovers in the first few minutes.
There was that one play where Embiid catches at the foul line and he's like kind of going left, and Jimmy Butler just comes up behind him, swipes the ball, and has yet another breakaway dunk with a sprained MCL.
It's how you would play if you were Embiid alone in the gym, right? Like, there's nobody going to steal the ball from me. I'm not looking around. I'm just dribbling myself. It was the same awareness level in an NBA game, like a play-in game, where Jimmy Butler's just like, okay, here, I'm just going to steal this from you. It's really pathetic. And it makes me think much less of Philly, even though a few days ago I was saying they could challenge the Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Embiid healthy, they have some interesting guys off the bench, like being able to bring Buddy Hield off the bench. He's a pretty decent player, or at least a guy who can get really hot, right? And then
Batum is one of those guys. Yeah,
Batum's a guy who can get hot. He hits his open shot. So they have some guys off the bench that can really help them. But without Embiid healthy and like giving you 35 a night, like that's a you know, that's a really big loss.
And not that most casual fans are going to care, but really, Tobias Harris really annoys the ever-living crap out of me. It's like, he has some talent. He's so pathetically bad, but then he'll have these games every now and then where he goes off. I'm like, oh, wow, this dude is good. He looks like he's got some heart. But then the next day, you know, he's asleep on the court.
Yeah, you're like, you might as well just put in Batum, right? Like, why are you playing this guy? I've never been a fan of him. That Philly has stuck with him for way too long, and it seems like it should be obvious to them, right? It's really frustrating when teams don't realize it.
So many of these NBA teams just have horrible organizations. I mean, you look at the Atlanta Hawks and Trae Young playing out there. How bad is his defense? I mean, on my worst day, I'm a better defender than him.
Yeah, you know, I might have to back that up because I don't think there's the worst defender in the NBA, right?
Oh, yeah, and, I'm totally serious, dude. I'm 50 years old. I really would take me on the defensive end of the court over him.
I just want to see it on TV. That would be so much fun to watch.
Just, all right, we're going to run the exact same play. Let's see who defends it better. Right? They go into huddle, and we have a curtain down the halfway point so I can't see what he's doing against him and he can't see what he's doing against me, and then you compare and contrast and you could break down the tape pistol.
Yeah, I mean, that would be fantastic. So,
it's a dream.
What do you think? I'm so surprised all the injuries that have happened in the first day of the playoffs, right? We got Zion Williamson out.
Yep.
We got Jimmy Butler out. We got Embiid looking like he's still only at 70%. I mean,
and
we're talking like guys going down left and right.
Unfortunately, we got the pistol out too. I will talk injury stuff when we come back from this commercial on WKXL's Radio. The Sports Machine with Slim, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord and 101.9 FM in Manchester. Say, I do really enjoy listening to the Pistol talk basketball. The energy, you can tell how much he loves to watch the NBA, which is kind of an atrocious product, actually. We're living in the past, Pistol. Back in the Michael Jordan, Larry Bird days, when the players really competed and there weren't 18 million foul calls every game and 18 million commercials and instant replays going to the review board all the time. So many stops and starts nowadays. It takes away from the game so much for me. That's why I love to watch the hockey because, boy, they just keep it moving. Move right along for the most part. Unless the glass breaks from an incredibly rough check or something like that. My brother Dave wants to come on the show today, and I want to have him here. Happy Friday, Dave.
Yeah, good morning. So to be fair, I'd like to see a few more whistles called in games like that Miami-Philadelphia game 3 nights ago.
I guess. We'll see how many whistles we want to have called. The instant replay stuff just absolutely crushes me all the time. It's so annoying. But you, given your druthers, would talk today NBA or NHL? What's more exciting to you?
So I think it's NBA, you know, and I think more because the Celtics have significantly more riding on this time of year than the Bruins do. I mean, the Bruins are a little bit of an underdog. I don't think anybody's really expecting them to go win a Stanley Cup, make a conference finals, whereas I think there's a lot of implications on the Celtics team if they don't make that kind of a run.
Well, I'm expecting the Bruins to win the title. In fact, I'm predicting the Bruins will go farther than the Celtics. I'll say the Bruins definitely make it to the finals, and if we get there, there's no reason why we can't beat the Western Conference. We beat them all season long, the top dogs. The Celtics, I do think we're probably going to the finals, but I'm not there yet. I hope we're going to win. I don't think we're going to win.
Well, listen, when it comes to the Celtics, I put together a list of things that will be no more at the end of this season or effective tonight with the start of the postseason. I'm wondering if you'd like to hear my list of five items and then maybe potentially disagree with any of them.
Well, I'm not sure what it is, but I would like to hear a list. It sounds secretive and informative. Go ahead.
So I think that has there really been a team recently with more expectations, more national talk than this Boston Celtics team? Right, everybody is waiting for them to fall short, even the fans in Boston. So, like, this is the things that are going to start happening tonight with the team, and then maybe a little bit further if they were to fall short. So the first one is no more time off for Al Horford, Kristaps Porzingis, right? Like, they've been no back-to-back I think it's time for them. They have to play every game. I don't care if you're up 3-0 in a series. Like, it's time to play every game. That's number five. Number four, Jaylen Brown, no more right hand. These teams are going to take it away from you. Are you going to be able to go left? This is consistent. This has happened with the Celtics in the last couple of playoff runs. Teams have just started to sit on his right hand. That's going to happen tonight. What's going to happen with that? Number three, Joe Mazzulla. No more time. If the Celtics don't win a championship, Joe Mazzulla needs to be removed. I think going to be removed, but I also say needs to be removed. If they don't win a title with this team, I think I could be the coach of this team and they would be the number one seed in the NBA. Number two, Jason Tatum. No more excuses. No more. I don't want to see you crying after fouls. We just watched people borderline getting stabbed on Tuesday night's game with the Heat and the 76ers with no whistles being called. Like, put that stuff behind you. Let it go. You better win. If you don't win, there's no excuses. Like, you are the best team. You have the most talent in the league. And number one is Wick Grosbeck. If the Celtics don't win, there's no more patience. Like, you have to hold people accountable. Whether it's trading Jaylen Brown, trading Jason Tatum. I mean, we might not have thought about that stuff, but if you don't win with this cluster, I think it's time to separate, go in a totally different direction.
Well, a couple of these things in your list, Dave, are about if we don't win. I kind of have a problem with this. It's the negativity of the Boston fan that ultimately leads to our downfalls.
I fully believe the Celtics are going to win it all.
So why talk about what might happen if we don't?
Because it's just those things that if we don't, I mean, listen, the national media, it's everywhere. I mean, nobody really is expecting, even your fans think that the Denver Nuggets are going to win the NBA championship, right? We have the Pistol who was just on. He doesn't think the Celtics are going to win. I think the vast majority of people do not expect the Celtics to win. They think they're going to trip on themselves. And so in that scenario, if that happens, that's just not acceptable. Your team is by far the most talented. So that needs to be talked about. No more, hey, if they don't get it done. I think, if they don't get it done, there's repercussions. And those dudes need to know that. I mean, they need to feel a little bit of that pressure as they go into this series. I don't think they've played with pressure at all over the last couple of years. Everybody's talked about their youth. I think it's time to apply that type of pressure to them.
Interesting. So on my drive in this morning, I heard Chris Curtis. I mentioned the Greg Hill show. I heard Curtis ask Wick Grosbeck a question alluding to essentially what you're saying right there is, if this team doesn't win at all, is Joe Mazzulla's job going to be somewhat up for like consideration? And Wick just stopped right on it and was like, yeah, that's not a question I'm going to answer. And I was like, of course, that's a horrible question, because there's no way the owner can say yes, because then immediately the media will go to the coach and say, hey, Wick Grosbeck just said that if this team doesn't win at all, your job might be on the line. What do you think about that? Are you saying you think that would be a good thing for the media to be asking that question to Joe Mazzulla a couple days before we start?
Oh, I think it's important. Not necessarily the coach, but the players, absolutely. I mean, Joe Mazzulla's been here 1 year. This is his first full year. Last year he was here, but he got a late start in the season. So I don't think you want to put that type of pressure on that guy. I mean, if it was a Doc Rivers, if it was a Nick Nurse, somebody who was more tenured, but I think it's simple X's and O's, right? If they don't win, then you have to hold them accountable. I want to see the pressure on the players. Like, you have to trade Brown or Tatum if you don't win. Like, you can no longer keep this team together if they don't find a way to win this year. You are considerably the best team in the NBA. It's not close. You should never lose in a 7-game series.
I totally agree with you. That's your point one with Wick Grosbeck, that there have to be changes if, in fact, we do not win. And I've said it enough times over the last couple of months, especially over the last week or two. Yeah, Jaylen Brown needs to go if we don't win. I mean, that's a question that us media can put into existence and have it filter back to the players. I'm not asking Wick Grosbeck's opinion on this, but if we lose, it's obviously Jaylen Brown's fault. He just doesn't do anything to make anybody else better.
He hasn't. He's actually been an albatross for the team the last couple of years. He's not shown up in their biggest games. And this is going back to his first or second year when the Celtics made a deep run. He was 0-for-10 from three in that Game 7 against Cleveland, the very first or second year Tatum. It was his second or third year where Tatum was great in the game. Brown was 0-for-10 from three. And it's consistent. The same theme has played out over the last 6 years. And again, he's gotten better every year. So I'm not going to knock Jaylen Brown's game, but this is well established. There are some players who in the playoffs play their best. There are other guys who come up short. And we can talk about James Harden. If you really want to, you can talk. I mean, you can go down the list of guys that haven't gotten it done. If Jaylen Brown's that guy, that's like you need to make that decision right now when you can still maximize a return for him.
Well, it would be what's best for him. Is again, if we don't win it this year, it's because we needed somebody to like be a better ball handler, make a better pass, be a better leader, be tougher on the defensive end. If we don't win it, it's because somebody didn't step into like that vacuum. Well, that should be Jaylen Brown's role. Right, like that player, you can find that player. Last year, Gabe Vincent, you know, did it for the Miami Heat. Caleb Martin, like you can find this role player type guy that's going to provide some of the toughness to get it done. Jaylen Brown, last year in the Game 7 against Miami Heat, I'm pretty sure he was 1-for-10 from three in that game, Dave.
Yeah, Nicholas Batum come up with a huge game for Philadelphia on Tuesday. Right? I mean, it's not hard to be a role player. Right? I mean, the guys that come up short, I think in the NBA, are the guys who have, they apply more pressure. They think they're under more pressure than what they actually are. They just don't handle the spotlight well. And so Jaylen Brown thinking, I have to be the guy, goes out there. And then potentially, just that type of pressure, you come up a little short. Like, dude, we have the guy. Jason Tatum is the guy on this team. We all know it. He just hasn't been put into that spotlight yet because even this year it's been a lot of Brown. Last year you had Marcus Smart take the final shot. I think it was in two of their last five games. In close games, Marcus Smart is the one pulling up for the final shot. Like that time is ending right now. Like that better end right now if Celtics are going to win it all.
Jaylen Brown needs to know, don't dribble with your left hand. You nailed it on point number four there. Just like, it's not, I need to go create, I need to go do this, there's more pressure on me, as you're saying, I got to try and dribble, and then he goes to his left hand, and it gets stolen, or he throws a bad pass because he can't handle. It's like, just wait, pass the ball to somebody else, and wait till you can drive to the hoop with your right hand. Dave, if you want to hold on through the commercial break, you can. If not, I'm comfortable either way. It's up to you. This is the Sports Machine with Slim, WKXL Radio. We got segment four coming next, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester is where you can hear us on the radio. Online, you go to nhtalkradio.com. Yesterday, I gave out some gifts. I remember them today. Can give them out again. It is Friday. People are feeling good. I will tell you once again, the Chicago Bulls are definitely going to beat the Miami Heat tonight. You don't need 2.5 points. They're definitely going to win, and my suspicion is they'll win by more than 10. But That's up to you. I'm just telling you, Chicago is going to win. The Miami Heat fans are going to come into the game half an hour late, and they'll be leaving a half an hour early. My brother Dave, you're staying on the line. You got any thoughts on tonight's Miami-Chicago matchup?
I just want to see some good games. I mean, with these lower-seeded teams, they put themselves in a position to get in and have a shot at the one-seed Boston Celtics. I don't think either one of them really feels like they can go into that series. I loved your take yesterday that the Miami Heat will capitulate, you know, today because they know that the Celtics team will look to lay the lumber in on them if they win, and they will look to embarrass them. I think that's a great take, maybe understated. I do think that the Celtics team, if they get the chance to play Miami, would look to beat up on that team.
Yeah, come on, Miami Heat. This is Eric Spoelstra talking. We got to really gear up. I know the road's going to be tough. Jimmy isn't with us tonight, but we want to hold the home court. Let's go out, do what we need to do, and then we can go and get on a plane and take the plane ride to go to cold New England and play the Celtics in 2 days. How does that sound?
Not good.
Not good. Not good.
Not good. Not good. I'd rather go to Bermuda now and start my summer vacation.
Right, right. You can take a 3-hour flight. You want to go north or you want to go south? See you later, pal. I'm going south. We'll talk to you next year. What do we think? We're going to go on some magical run, beat the Celtics, beat these other teams, and go to the finals again without Jimmy Butler? You think Tyler Hero was going to lead the way through this? No. Dave, we could. The awesome thing about this radio show is with the pistol and with you, we could just start talking and zero in on any game and do it for 10 minutes. But is there anything out there that stands out to you? Because over the weekend, everything's kicking off, whether it's NHL or NBA. Any particular series or game you'd want to discuss?
There isn't with me. I mean, the intrigue behind the New York and 76ers, I think, is great. Right, I mean, like, I think that a lot of people in New England are maybe a little afraid of the Knicks because the Knicks always just seem to play us tough. They're really big and physical, and Kristaps is not really exactly what you'd call a physical specimen. And so I think people would like to see them lose early. And Philadelphia, contrarily, also has Embiid, the huge guy that I just think, you know, he's potentially, you know, when he's playing at his best, the best player in the NBA. So to get one of those teams knocked out right out of the bat is great for the Celtics, but I think it's just good basketball. Like, those should be really tight, really close, late-game heroic games. I'd love to see, you know, that series go 7 games. I think it's going to.
Two great coaches going at it in Thibodeau and Nick Nurse, and I will say the betting lines, it's -110 for both of them on the series, so it's pretty split. I would say from a Celtics fan, I don't care who we play. Like, I'm not ducking anybody. It's the same thing in the NHL. It's like, whoever we play, we're playing. I'm not rooting to have this easy matchup or whatever. We're good enough to win. Let's go win. But I will say, if the 76ers make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, that's because they're playing well, and they've beaten two good teams to get there, which means Embiid's hot and healthy, and that should scare you a little bit.
Of course. Well, they will have beaten Milwaukee or Indiana, and I think that's another toss-up series. I haven't looked at any of the lines, so it's great to hear that first one is really a pick series. I would have to think the Milwaukee-Indiana series probably is as well, where they're talking about Giannis at least missing a couple games, but that should be another really, really fun up and down. Like, that's going to be totally opposite of the Knicks and Sixers. Like, the Bucks and the Pacers, I think, are going to be running up and down the floor trying to score 140 points against each other.
Well, Indiana's not changing anything that they're going to do. Like, the Bruins last year, they alternated goalies all the way through or most of the regular season. Then when it came playoff time, no, Omar gets the net. It's not like Indiana all of a sudden is going to go into any sort of a slowdown game or let's mentally think through this shot selection. They are getting the ball out of the rim or off of the rebound, and they're going as fast as they can the other direction. There's no reason to stop that whatsoever. Just so you know, I mean, the Bucks are the 3 seed. They're the favorite, right? They are right now the underdog in the series. Indiana's -120 because they don't think Giannis is coming back.
Wow. Yeah, I just think it's great. They got the complementing styles, right, you know, in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. The two slow-it-down teams in the Sixers and Knicks, the two up-paced teams, Bucks and Pacers. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun. The other series, is anybody, Jim, anybody, interested in the Bucks and Cavs series? In the Bucks and I can't even tell you not the
Orlando
Cavs and Magic. Yeah. I can't even tell you the teams. I'm so disinterested.
Nobody cares about that series at all. Like, even if Cleveland wins, it's like, so what, dude? They're just going to lose in the next round. They're not going anywhere. That team is not good. I've watched them enough. The Celtics were up on them by 30. Yeah, they came back and beat us. We were crushing them so easily, and we didn't even have like 2 or 3 starters in that game. Cleveland is just straight up trash in my mind. Orlando is just young. I think if Jalen Suggs ever learns to really play at the NBA level, they're going to be dangerous because Franz Wagner is just legit, and Banchero is a physical specimen. I just don't know how smooth he is. So that series, I'll watch a little bit just because I like Franz Wagner, Dave. How about out west? I'll tell you. Do you know Kawhi Leonard's hurt again? He's got inflammation in his knee. It's like, I don't know. I think the Mavericks are going to beat the Clippers now because if I'm on Kawhi's team, I'm just like, dude, are you ever healthy?
You're better off not playing that dude for 82 games and then just breaking him out for the postseason.
I guess.
The Clippers, since they've signed those guys, I mean, really, if you just talk about it, it's only because that franchise, the Clippers, have never had any expectations that this doesn't get more buzz, right? Like, they've had Paul George bully his way out to the Clippers for all the draft picks to Oklahoma City. I mean, he really helped set up the Oklahoma City Thunder and where they're at right now. with the moves that they made, the picks that they got, and they've got zero return for it. Now, Oklahoma City Thunder is the one seed in the West. It's so great. It's so great. I'd love to see them have to play each other in the second round, but I'm with you. I think Dallas is going to win that series.
I've rooted for the Clippers for so many years. I really enjoy Kawhi Leonard. Like, I don't know what type of a dude he is off the court, but he doesn't complain. Like, his demeanor, his defense is just shut down, locked down, best defender in basketball. He was for a handful of years. So I root for him. And he's come through in the clutch, but he's just hurt all the time. And I just don't think Paul George is the guy. He's been proven that. Harden and Westbrook certainly are not the guys. So 3 months ago, I thought the Clippers were building something special, thought they were great, but now I'm ready to turn coattail and run. In the NHL, Dave, I will tell you, and anybody else who's listening, I love the Bruins over Toronto. Two series I got my eye on, both from the Eastern Conference, because I watch the teams a lot. Tampa Bay is plus 150. Florida's minus 180. I'm just going to tell you, Tampa Bay can win that series. They're the underdog, and they can win, Dave.
So, and listen, I like hockey. I think playoff hockey is the best playoff sport to watch. But I would think, did Florida beat the Lightning last year when they played? I would have guessed they beat them in the second round.
I'm not even sure. I'm not a hockey player. Right? Fan.
The Bruins lost to Florida, and I thought the Lightning beat Toronto, but maybe not. Maybe Toronto came back and beat the Lightning in that series last year. But it's the same four teams. You know, I mean, this year they just kind of swapped the matchups. But the Lightning are definitely a little bit better this year than they were last year. They had a really good run, and then they were down a couple of years here since they won their last Stanley Cup championship. But this year here, they've really rebounded. I just don't know if they have the depth to stay with Florida long term. I think Florida's going to win that series.
I just think that Florida was middling this season in that 2-3 spot. They're just kind of coasting along. Tampa Bay for a while was down, like in danger of not making the playoffs, and they turned it on for a stint. Then they coasted home a little bit at the end, and I just think that's a sign of a team that I'm like, okay, when things get tough, they know how to play, and they've won championships down there. So I just don't see Ford as this unbeatable team. The other one is the Rangers, who I actually do think are very, very good, minus 450 in this series. Washington, when I watched them play the Bruins the other day, man, are they big. And that's a game to watch. I think they're playing Sunday. You watch that, I guarantee there's going to be some huge hits at the beginning of that game.
Well, minus 450, that's a big number in hockey because eight seeds beat one seed regularly, right? So when you see somebody actually minus 450, well, the action's really got to be coming in pretty significantly on that Ranger team. I don't know a whole lot about Washington. I know the Rangers are good. I've watched them play. Like, no, the Rangers are definitely good. I haven't watched enough of Washington to know, but you seem to think that Washington has a chance.
I just think they're playing good at the end of the season, Dave. The Rangers, I know, are good, too. I watched the games we played against them. Like, that team's tough, and they're skilled. Washington, I'm not sure how skilled they are, but I know they are tough. And all I'm saying is, in hockey, if you start nailing guys, like, a shot might go in, and all of a sudden everybody's going haywire. Meanwhile, you're getting nailed. You better keep an eye out.
Well, what I do know, Jim, is that this weekend starts the playoffs for both the NHL and the NBA, and your Boston team, the Bruins and the Celtics, both have realistic shots at winning a Stanley Cup and the NBA playoff championship, which is something that's a rarity around here. Hopefully we can find a way to pull off that daily double.
Let's go finish it off. Start it and finish. Thanks, Dave. This is the Sports Machine with Slim, WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire Talk Radio.com. Have a good weekend. We'll see you on Monday.